Let me pray for us, friends. Dear God, please open our hearts that we may be truly teachable this morning, listening to your word attentively and to your Son, and bless us in doing so, I pray in his name. Amen. So, friends, today there's a choice to be made from this Bible text. The choice is the world or the word. The world or the word. You must choose whether you're going to stand out for the word of God in the world. It's Jesus praying today, and he's praying about the word he got from the Father, the word that he is incarnate, that he gives to the apostles, which we now have in their words of John's Gospel and of the New Testament with the old. You see, a Christian does not belong to the world. So a Christian needs to figure out, you know, if my home is heaven, my home is not, you know, my street in Narrewarren or wherever that is. My home's heaven. What is my relationship to the world now? And there's different answers Christians give. In fact, Christians often fight about this. How much to blend in and how much to stand out in the world and how much to try and remove yourself from the world. Now, it's got to be admitted that there's a lot of Christians, they blend in very well. Apart from a few hours on a Sunday morning, their lives are indistinguishable from the world. I don't know whether this is intentional for them or unintentional, but somehow the call to Christian obedience that is in the Word has not made much difference. On the other hand, this is rarer, I think, but there are Christians who try and disengage from the world and try and bubble from the world and have nothing to do with the world. They're trying to escape. They're trying to escape before God has told us we can escape. So we've got to figure out where on this spectrum we're going to lie. I remember this wonderful interview with Michael Loonig, that kind of spiritual cartoonist who does the cartoons in The Age on the weekend. And he was on the Andrew Denton show. And Denton was grilling him because he was raising his two kids full-time on a farm in country Victoria. And Denton was saying, you're trying to bubble your kids from the world, and you're trying to protect them and things like that. And Loonig answered really wisely. He said to Andrew Denton, this is on the ABC, this is a quote. He said, Andrew, you can't control the situation to that extent. The world just comes in on top of you. The world creeps under the door. It falls out of the sky. It's all around. It's a great quote because it kind of showing that he thought you can't disengage from the world. The world is going to creep under the door. It's going to creep under the door of the church and of your home. And so unless you're thoughtful about this, I think the default will be to look like the world. The default will be to blend in, maybe by osmosis, unconsciously, without you noticing it. Though you espouse that you're a Christian and you're different, chances are you will lose your saltiness if you're not careful. That's the probability. And I actually think that's exactly where Satan wants you to be. He, at one level, Satan probably hates that you go to church, but he probably doesn't mind you going to church if the rest of the week you're no different. In fact, that's probably exactly where he wants you, because you're complacent at that point. Does that make sense? And so Satan doesn't want you to stand out for the word. So today the question is, to what extent does God want us to stand out? And we need to have a little bit of honesty in the room and just acknowledge the fact that we don't want to stand out. You know, we know God's going to call us to that, but we don't really want to stand out, because people who stand out are kind of looked at and pointed at, and actually people who stand out are hated. Our world loves conformity. And people who stand out against the grain will be hated. And who wants to be hated? I don't want to be hated. But This is it. If you're going to be a Christian, it has to be 100%. It cannot be 50% Christ, 50% world. You're in the world, but you have to be 100% for Jesus. And I just wonder, how many people have been at our church who have wanted to become Christians and really been come up to the line of making a commitment to Jesus and then sensed the pressure that would then be on them in the world from other people around them and step back? And how much easier would it be if we were a church that was boldly 100% for Jesus in the world, so that if people want to become a Christian, that say, well, here's a group that will stand with me and bear the name of Christ and support me. Do you know what I mean? But if we're just a church that's blending in, it's very hard for people amongst us to become Christians, which is what we so desperately want. They need to see that we are leading the way in helping each other stand firm in the world. And this is exactly what Jesus prays for us today. He prays for us to choose the word over the world in John 17. So we've actually come to the end in John 17 of a unique part of the Bible. I'm a little bit embarrassed to sort of think that Hilton and I haven't really done John 16, 17 justice. That this is a really special part of the Bible, because it's Jesus pouring his heart out to the Father in secret prayer that he allowed to be recorded by the apostles. Very often in Jesus' life, the Bible just says he went up to pray overnight, or he went up to a mountain to pray by himself, and we don't know what was prayed. And you wish you could be a fly on the wall. And here is one chapter of the Bible where we know what he prayed. We know because he let the apostles in when he poured out his heart. So John 17, friends, is a treasure chest. It's good stuff. And his prayer kind of works on two levels. Firstly, it's a prayer for the 12, his apostles, and then it's a prayer for you. It's a prayer for the church. And the things he prays for your joy, he prays for your protection, he prays for the unity of the church, he prays for our mission, but most of all he prays for our sanctification. That's the key word today. Sanctify them. And we'll unpack what that means. But let's just jump into verse 13. Listen to Jesus pouring out his heart and soul to God. He says, Father, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they, and I think that is the 12 and the church, may have the full measure of my joy within them. Father, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. So world or the word. He gave the word of the Father to the apostles, and the world hated them. And of course, they go on to basically all die for this word. My prayer, he says, is not that you take them out of the world. So God's will is not that we be zapped to heaven in a hurry to be rescued. God wants us here. So my prayer is not that you take them out of the world. I've lost my spot. But that you protect them from the evil one, from Satan. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. God's will is that we live in the world and that we bear the word of God in the world. That's our mission. That's our unity as a church in the word of God, in the truth of this message. And if we bear the word, Satan will be after us. The world will hate us, Jesus promises, and Satan will attack us. But he prays for our protection. In fact, his prayer is a little bit similar to the Lord's Prayer. Do you realise when you pray the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil, that could easily be translated, deliver us from the evil one? Because it's literally, deliver us from the evil. And it's the same in John 17. Protect them from the evil. Most likely, Satan, the evil one. So friends, blending in, not Jesus' strategy. Not our strategy. In fact, his most important prayer is verse 17. This is the big memory verse. This is the take-home verse today. Verse 17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Jesus prays that we would be sanctified, which basically all it means is, I told the kids, you're set apart. You're set apart for God. Jesus prays that the apostles would be set apart for God, and he prays that we would be set apart for God in the world. In the world, engage with the world, but set apart from the world in what we believe, in how we live, but especially what we believe, because he says, set them apart by the truth. Your word is the truth. When God sanctifies something, he says, this is mine and it's for my use. And that is what God claims over your life. If you're a Christian, in fact, that's really the responsibility of being baptized. If you're marked by baptism, God has claimed you and said, you are set apart for my use. If you're set apart by God, then of course, I hope you will see you want to reflect him. And so holiness will mean godliness. It will mean Christ-likeness. But at its root, the word means set apart for God, and then the moral connotations follow. Now, friends, is this your life? Are you different? Are you holy? Are you set apart? Well, God says you are. Are you living it out, is the question. God in Christ has set you apart. Are you living differently to the world? Do you believe differently to the world? Has the truth transformed you so that you are different to the world? It's by truth. Friends, I don't know whether you've thought about this, but truth is everything. What you believe is everything. And there's a proverb, people say, what a man thinks, so he is. It actually comes from the King James Bible. There's a King James proverb in chapter 23 that says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Your thoughts define you. What you believe about yourself and the world and heaven define you. You know, they determine your identity, your purpose, your hope. The truth you believe defines you, whether you're a Christian or not. There's always a truth that's driving you. Truth is paramount. Truth is transformative. And Jesus says, God's word is truth. Are you defined by God's word? What's wrong with the world today? Well, the core problem of the world is not the battle between love and hate. The core battle is not the battle between righteousness and wickedness, or justice and injustice. The core battle is between God's truth and the world's lies. God's truth and the world's lies. God's truth exposes things, and the world does not want to hear that truth. In the Bible elsewhere, in 1 Corinthians, for example, it says, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. So, if you have truth, you have love, because love rejoices in the truth, you see? Or in Romans 1:8, it says, of the wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. See, wicked people don't want the truth about God, about Jesus, about our need for redemption and rescue and forgiveness. But truth is at the core. You have God's word and you are sanctified. And love will follow. Justice will follow. Righteousness will follow. So friends, I hope you're hungry for the truth. What's your hunger level like? Do you read the Bible? Do you want to grow? Are you thinking new thoughts about God from his truth? Then there's this amazing point in the prayer where Jesus actually stops praying just for the apostles and actually prays for us. And in a way, I don't think there's anywhere else in the Bible where we are involved, where we are mentioned. Do you ever have that experience where you kind of... this may be kind of a youth group thing or a Sunday school thing where someone in the room has a name of a Bible character, like my son is Josiah, and they're reading about King Josiah and everyone's kind of ribbing him and saying, oh, you're in the Bible. Do you know what I mean? And I was always a bit jealous and I was always looking and longing to find the Wayne in the Bible. Otherwise, beautiful name, but I don't know, it's just an Aussie Ocker name and not Hebrew or anything godly. But I found myself in the Bible today, and I found you in the Bible. We're all actually there in verse 20. Jesus says, "My prayer is not for them alone, them the apostles alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." Well, who's that? Bunch of people here believing in Jesus through their message. That's Jesus praying for us. Isn't that great? The night before he died, he's praying for us. He's thinking of you. He cares for you. You are on his mind the night of nights. And I take it, therefore, that on the cross, you are on his mind. What does he pray for us? Well, he prays for our unity and our mission. He prays that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe you have sent me. He prays that the church, in the truth of the Old Covenant scriptures and the apostolic New Testament, would be one, and that the world would believe that Jesus is truly God's Son. It's really obvious, isn't it, that it's not a great witness when Christians fight, when Christians quabble over tiny things that aren't core matters, like Jesus' death and resurrection. But we are one in that gospel. And I think even in the world, like, you see how much worldly people love to have factions and competitions and, competing interests and trotting on each other. And Jesus says, well, in the church, in me, in the truth of God's word, may they be one so they stick out. That will help the world believe. So friends, this is our call today. Let me summarise this together. It's our privilege to stand out. It's not a burden to bear. It's our mission to stand out, to be sanctified by the truth of God's word, to be defined by God's word in the world, to be defined by the gospel. Jesus prayed, and I think he's actually still praying this prayer, sanctify them by the truth. Set apart Berwick Anglican Church by the truth of God's word. That's his prayer for us even now. The rewards are great. A new heavens and a new earth, eternal life. The suffering will be short. The insult, the being looked at, the being thought of as crazy will be short. But in eternity, we will join God. We will see Jesus. His love will be in us. We will see his glory, he promises. Friends, do you want to see the glory of Jesus? Do you want to see him face to face forever? You need to stand out. Do you want to be prepared for heaven? Do you want to be trained in holiness so that you're ready to enjoy heaven? You need to stand out. Do you want to have unity in the church? Do you want to be one? Then we're going to need to stand out together. Do you want to make an impact on the world for God? Then we need to stand out. Jesus prays for us, sanctify them, set them apart, make them stand out by the truth. God's word is the truth. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, thank you for your intimate prayers to the Father for us. Thank you for your prayer that we'd be set apart. Thank you for thinking of us on the night when you were going to give up everything for our rescue. Lord Jesus, empower us, forgive us for the times we've maybe cowardly blended in too much. I've done that. Please help us for your word, for what we believe, to make us stand out. Please do this for your glory, we pray in your name. Amen.